Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marty Swedberg.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us for another edition of Perspective Transformation with Marty's Friends. And as you can hear, my little puppy's here with us, too, today, as well as our wonderful guest, Jennifer Cattermore. We're going to be talking today about speaker training, how to gain victory over insecurities. And you guys, you know what? Even if you aren't called to be a public speaker, or if you are, we've all got these insecurities that kind of come up and grab us and pull us down from the heights to which God would like us to rise. So today we're going to be talking about what's the most important to God, the three most common reasons we lack confidence, how insecurities affect every aspect of our lives, how to embrace God's perspective of who we are, how to look in the mirror, what loving yourself really means, the secret to combating insecurity and negative thinking, four important and practical ways to renew your mind, and how to dress for battle and success like King David did. Our guest today is Jennifer Cattermore. She is one of our featured speakers over at WomenSpeakers.com. She's a Bible teacher, conference speaker, author, and ministry founder. Her mission is to introduce girls and women to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through her Bible and teaching instruction and Bible distribution outreach. Her website is JenniferCattermore.com. Welcome to you, Jennifer.
Marnie, are you there?
Okay, I can hear you. Can you not hear me? I am hearing Jennifer loud and clear. Jennifer, can you hear us?
I can.
You know what I'm going to have you do is I'm going to have you log off and call back in, okay? So go ahead and we're just going to disconnect that line. Sorry about that, you guys. Every once in a while we have a little bit of technical difficulty, and when we do, oh my goodness, just like our little life difficulty right now with this crazy COVID-19, we have to just do the best we can. And Jennifer and I were talking right before we came on air here about our focus is just on Jesus, how to stay, you know, it's like Peter walking on the water, and we can either get real consumed with the waves here, or else we can just get real consumed with Jesus. And this is an opportunity like none other. We have not seen anything like this in our lifetime, and we're just at the very beginning of this thing. So to just keep your eyes on Jesus and to go forward with him there. Still waiting for Jennifer to call back in, and then we'll get going on our program today. But while we're waiting, let me just pray with you, because I know that hearts are stirred up. Even if you're peaceful and calm, maybe somebody around you is feeling a little anxiety right now. So I'm just going to lead us in prayer here, and then we'll get going. So Jesus, we are so grateful for your love. God, we are amazed that you can be with every person around the whole planet Earth right now, all at the same time. Oh, we're so grateful for your presence with us. And we know that you are with us. You care deeply for us, and that you have good that you want to bring out of this horrific pandemic that is sweeping the world. So God, I pray for protection, provision, and peace for every listener right now, and for every person in each of their spheres of influence. Thank you for this moment we have with Jennifer, and I pray that you would just open our hearts to what you want to teach us today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's see. Jennifer, can you hear us now?
I can. Can you hear me?
Put loud and clear. Every once in a while, we just have to jump through a hurdle, right?
Take two.
Take two. That's right. All right.
It's good to be back with you.
Yes, well, it's great to have you here. And we're talking today about overcoming insecurities. So sometimes when you're going to be live on radio, you have a little insecurity that something like this might happen. And sometimes it does.
Yes.
And then, you know, when it does, when life happens to us, you know, we have the choice to get all really, really upset about it. Or we have the choice to just keep on going, just to just say, okay,
Amen.
God, you allow that for whatever reason. And I always say, I guess I'm curious about your perspective on this, Jennifer, but I always say that I believe God uses everything he's got, like all of the circumstances of our life, that he uses everything he's got to draw us into a deeper dependence on him, because that's where he knows
amen.
We will be the safest and most happy.
Oh, amen. And here's how I figure this. So we had that little glitch there, and maybe somebody just was having a trouble tuning in. Now they can tune in. Maybe that delay was, it was divine. That's what I think. So I absolutely agree that he uses everything for his purposes, and I fully trust that. So,
right. And because you weren't here, I got to pray with us all, which I usually don't do at the beginning of the show. I mean, everything changes, you guys. Whenever something changes, everything changes. It's the butterfly effect,
yes.
or however you want
yes.
to call it. I mean, it's just God,
right.
God is at work. And when you look at your circumstances right now and you feel unsure or unstable, that's okay. We are unsure and we are unstable, but God is perfectly stable and he is completely sure
so true.
About what's going on.
Oh,
yeah.
So true.
So
yes,
as
amen.
We dive into our topic of victory over insecurities today, Jennifer, what is the most important thing to God?
Well, you know, if we look at the messages and the opinions of our society, they often aren't the same as God's, right? So, I mean, if you just look at TV or read a magazine or scroll through social media, you know, we see what people deem to be relevant and important and what the advertisers seem, you know, to think is most important. And unfortunately, you know, we believe a lot of what we see, and we believe that money and fame and appearance are all that's important, and we base our worth and our value on those things. But what God says is that we're much more than that, that we are perfectly and beautifully created with intrinsic sacred worth. And that's what's most important to God, that we know that, that we grasp that, that we embrace it, that we live out of that. And, you know, that our hearts live in such a way to reflect that to others. And if we take some scriptures, for instance, 1 Peter 3, 3 through 4, it says, do not be concerned about outward appearance, but we're supposed to focus on the beautiful that's on the inside with pure hearts and our gentle spirits, on having those things. 1 Samuel 16, 7 tells us that the Lord doesn't look at outward appearances like people do, but he looks at our heart. And I was actually just studying from Matthew 6 the other day, and it occurred to me how that entire chapter, Jesus is teaching about hypocrisy and how our behavior isn't supposed to be for the praise of people, right? But we're having an attitude of our heart that seeks the first the kingdom of God, that finds our treasure in him. So those are the things that are most important to God, not... often not what culture says.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And so what do you think are the three most common reasons that we lack confidence?
Well, I would say, first of all, low self-esteem. And I'm a word girl. I love to look up words. I love to know what the definitions are of words. And so I'm going to give everybody the definition of low self-esteem. It is a thinking disorder in which an individual views herself or himself as inadequate, unlovable, and or incompetent. And once formed, this negative view permeates every thought, producing faulty assumptions and ongoing self-defeating behavior. So that's
wow.
And
wow.
believe me, I spent a lot of years parked in that space. And everything that I share comes out of that, like out of my deep insecurities that I had that led me down such destructive paths.
Mm.
And it all
so
was
really,
tied up in my low
yeah.
self-esteem.
So you said it's inadequacy, the sense of being unlovable, and of being incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you say that leads to?
That leads to a negative view of ourselves that permeates every thought. And then it produces faulty assumptions. And then we enter into this ongoing self-defeating behavior because of that.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes sense, that lack of confidence.
Yeah.
Come from
right?
That.
I mean, there's a lot to unpack in that.
Right. What's the second one?
Well, the second one that I believe is a common reason is kind of what we already touched on, and that is the media and what it surrounds us with and the message that it whispers to us. A lot of times it screams to us, to all of us, despite our age. Whenever I teach and I discuss insecurities, I ask the women, raise your hand if you do not struggle with some kind of insecurity. And nobody has ever raised their hand, right? I mean,
right.
Everybody
right.
struggles with insecurities right. on some kind of level. And the important thing is that we know that we can manage them and that we can overcome those struggles because of, well, what we're going to discuss coming up, actually.
So I like to think of advertising as, if you were to define an advertisement for something, the definition would be, without this blank, you are not okay.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah,
right. So all of these media messages that we're getting in advertising all day long are telling us, you're not okay, you're not okay, you're not okay, you're not okay, you're not okay. You got to have this, you got to do that, you got to be there, you got to hear this.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it is just overwhelming how much input about this we're getting. Right. So it's not too surprising that we believe some of it.
And you're not kidding. And the more we put into our brains that come from that, right, that's what's going to dominate how we think. And oh my goodness, my heart is so turned towards young girls, particularly because it's such a young age, and particularly now, right? So so the third one is, then those two things added together, we have those reasons we fall into comparing ourselves to others, right? Almost what you said about the advertisement. So we have this yardstick of comparison to what we see, what we hear, what's being poured into our brains. And then in our own minds, we begin to fall short, right? We look at all of that and we're like, oh, because I don't have X, Y, and Z, I fall short. Whether it be with your appearance, you know, for me, it was about my appearance, the struggles that I had. So, you know, oh my goodness, somebody struggles with, I don't have that kind of hair, I don't have that kind of body, or it's somebody who doesn't have a certain brand of clothes, or, you know, anything. You know, it's such a broad spectrum of the insecurities that are there. So, and you know, this isn't all encompassing, these three things. I think these are the most common, but there's generational attitudes. There are, you know, beliefs from what you were taught growing up. There's trauma, but regardless of the cause, the result affects how our confidence is developed. So then we act
out
of that.
Feel like. Yeah, and you feel like insecurities affect every aspect of our lives. Kind of unpack that for us a little bit.
All right, so the way that insecurities affect our lives, it's because they skew our perspective on every subject, in every circumstance. So the insecurities, they drain our energy, they sap our joy, they cause us to make irrational, inappropriate decisions. They especially keep us from living the abundant life that's been prepared for us by God. So if we don't learn how to deal with them properly, it becomes this vicious cycle and this wicked battle within ourselves. I think of them as self-fulfilling prophecies, right? What we think we are, we most often become. And then they affect our relationships. I mean, really, who wants to be around someone who's always offended because they think every comment or action is an affront against them? I mean, you know, who wants to walk on eggshells or be around somebody who's constantly negative? So they affect us emotionally, they affect us mentally, spiritually, physically, they affect us vocationally, and that's because insecurity is a miserable companion to have. And like I said earlier, God's word says that we're perfectly created with intrinsic and sacred worth. And so we should never let what others say about us define who we are, you know, especially the media. We certainly shouldn't depend on others to feed our self-esteem, because then that becomes unstable. So we need to, rely on God's biblical definition of who we are and let that mold our thoughts and drive our actions and propel us to who he's created us to become. He didn't create us to live, you know, with faulty reasoning. So
do you feel like low self-esteem, like insecurity, is something that we can self-diagnose? Or is this something that, for the most part, we aren't even aware of it? It's just affecting us. Which do you think is more true?
That's a really good question. I would say that it really can be so subtle. It can just kind of weave its way into our lives, right? Because, again, because of what we're feeding our brains, we have to be so careful about what we feed our brains. We're careful about what we feed our bodies, right? Everybody thinks about that, but we really need to be careful how we're feeding our brains. So I think it can be very subtle and kind of just work its way into our lives. I think once we begin, though, to dive into that, we then can diagnose that in ourselves. I mean, the shift in my mind, because, it can be very, you know, the more we're leaning into God, the more we're relying on his biblical principles and what he says about us and his definition of us, he will reveal that to us. And then we're able to address those issues and tackle them.
Right, which is, now that we're going to talk about that exactly next now, how do we actually start to do that, to embrace God's perspective of who you are? I'm going to share just my own morning routine with you, and then I'm going to let you address this, Jennifer. But in the morning, when I get up, first of all, I'm saying the Lord's Prayer before I even open my eyes. I'm just talking to God. If I'm awake in the night at all, I just kick into talking to him right immediately away. Right. And then I get up, and what I do is I just go and change into my little workout set, and I go and do the elliptical immediately first thing in the morning. And when I'm on the elliptical, I'm praying for the women of the world. I'm praying for people in my family. I'm praying for the speakers at womenspeakers.com and the planners over there. And I have a prayer list, but I also am going through, statements of truth from scripture. So I'm going to grab this here beside me, but like one of my sets is about disappointments. It starts, disappointment is the perspective that something valuable has been withheld, lost, or stolen from me. But God's appointments are the reality that God is orchestrating all things, including and especially this, for my good. Example, Genesis 15:20, Joseph's brothers. Anyway, go on like that. I just keep on filling my mind with what is true about me from God's perspective. Because, like we said earlier, you know, you've got all of this input bombarding your brain that says you're not enough. It's never going to be enough. You're never going to be okay. You know, it's just, and
right,
it's not
right.
true. With God, all things are possible.
Amen to that. Well, I don't even think I need to answer the question, because you did such a great job. But I will add to it. Okay, so that is exactly what I do. That's what I learned to do, was to take those things and just fill my brain with God's word. I like to start to, in order to embrace God's perspective, I just believe that we need to start at the very beginning of the Bible. And if we go to the very first book, Genesis, the very first chapter, and the very, you know, the very first 31 verses, we learn what God did. He created everything. So he created light and day and night and the sky and the heavens and land and sea and plants and vegetation and fruit, right? And the sun, the moon, the stars, creatures of the sea, the birds of the sky, animals of the land. And he saved the best for last, right? Man and woman. And of course, he created rest on the seventh day. And after, if you read that, I encourage everybody, of course, to get into the Word and get back in and read that whole chapter for yourselves. But after that, after he created each thing, he said, and he saw what he had made, and it was good, and it was very good. And if we just think about this logically, the Alpha and the Omega, the creator of everything that we see, that we hear, that we smell, that we know, from the minuscule to the infinite, God made. And he did it out of love, on purpose, for a purpose. And if we just take that in for a second, because he chose to bring everything into existence, right? I mean, nothing's an accident. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that he has made everything beautiful in its time. So everything, that includes us, every one of us. And so, okay, so I have a few questions for everyone out there. Based on what I just read, and which is, you know, the truth found in the scripture, do you really believe that God made a single thing that isn't perfect or pleasing or beautiful? Do you really believe that God created you and afterwards said, oops, that's not right? I mean, do you really believe that he doesn't love you? I mean, why? Why would any of that be true? Why would he do that? Why would he make everything and then make us and it not be perfect? And so if we just would embrace God's perspective by knowing his perspective and doing that, we'll be able to see ourselves, you know, from his perspective, the truth of the word, that shifts our thoughts. And so then we can practice remembering those things. We can practice speaking those things. And it's really, truly the only way to get God's perspective of things. Take his word, break it down, and look at what his character is, and look at who he is, and why he does things. To me, that is just the fundamental reason and the fundamental way of understanding and seeing things from who he is. Just start at the beginning and everything he did. And again, that's just a small portion of the scriptures. You know, of course, read it from beginning to end, but that's where we begin.
Right, right. And to just recognize that God's perspective of you is the truth. That is the truth.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And so no matter what anybody else says, in fact, one of the things that I go through almost every morning is that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then in Colossians, it says that, and I phrase it like this, that there is no meaningful accusation against a child of God. There's no meaningful accusation.
Beautiful.
Now, of course, there are things we can learn. There's conviction of the Holy Spirit, but there's no meaningful accusation. We are free to be fully who God created us to be, regardless of who approves or who doesn't approve. And it's really a place of freedom. It's such a place of freedom. And it's so different from how we have to, if we don't have that stamp of approval from God, if we don't feel like we do, we have to do it differently then. Then we absolutely are hungry for approval everywhere else, and we have to behave differently.
Yes, absolutely. We act differently because we're
right, back to that.
We long for approval. And, you know, it's interesting to me. Of course, I didn't know this years ago, but we do. We long for approval. We long for love. That is a fundamental need in everybody. But what people don't understand, it breaks my heart. I want to cry. If people would only lean into him and ask him to help them to understand that, they will get all the approval that they need. They will get all the love they need, all the acceptance they need. It's all wrapped up in him because he created us. And he wants to give us that. And, you know, it's that's not to say that, you know, somebody complimenting us or somebody giving us an award or recognizing our actions as good, that's not a bad thing. But when we rely on that to define us, we rely on that to feed us, that's where the shift happens. And so we just have to go back to looking to him for everything. He's our source of everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, based on that, how do we look in the mirror then?
Okay. So I love how God spoke to me and taught me all of this. So, and maybe a lot of listeners could understand this, but okay. So one day I got out of the shower and I was standing, looking in the mirror, getting ready to, you know, do my hair, get dressed for the day, whatever. And I began immediately to body shame myself. And I was saying, oh, look at your hips. Oh, look at, you know, your cellulite. Oh, look at this, right? Can I get an amen from anybody, you know, who has ever done that, right? So I'm standing there just saying that to myself, like, look at this, look at that. And I just felt God's voice say to me, yes, Jennifer, look at yourself. And I just happened to be like kind of, you know, I was kind of close to the mirror and I looked at my eyes and I saw my pupils like dilating, right? And opening and closing. And I was like, oh yes, look. And I began to see like just what he was saying to me. Look at how your body works. Look what it does. Look at the my eyes, right? Our eyes
so
have
amazing,
cones and rods
right.
and all these things, the retina, how it works, how things are projected within the eyes so that we can actually see ourselves. And then I began to look at everything on my body. Oh, how my ears work, how my hands work, how my brain, you know, the greatest engineering computer, right? The greatest computer ever engineered. how that works and how our just everything, our digestive system. I went on down through my body, and it was finally how I saw myself through God's eyes, from His perspective. And Marty, it was life changing. It transformed my life to be able to see myself. It was a totally new concept of being able to see myself in a totally different way. And I just encourage everybody to do that, to look at themselves, not as how the world would see them or anyway, but how God sees them, and to see that our bodies are incredible. They're an amazing machine. They're an incredible tool that God has created. And so I just encourage everybody to see themselves from that perspective. We're more than a gene size. You know, we're more than what our IQ says. We're more than what our grades say. We're more, so much more than any of those things.
I love that. So I'm thinking about perspective transformation. So if we think about a pair of glasses, let's just pick corrective
yes.
lenses that somebody would wear. So somebody is very can't see, needs glasses. And they're looking around at the world, and everything is fuzzy. Everything is blurry. And then they put on the glasses with the correct prescription. And now they look, and everything is crystal clear. Everything is well-defined. Everything is visible for what it really is. Now, has anything about the world changed? Or did it just, is just their perception changed, right? Only
yes.
that perception.
Yes.
But once
yes.
the perception changes, once the perspective changes, you can't really go back to believing that everything's blurry. You can't.
Right.
Actually, when you take
yes.
your glasses off, you know, okay,
yes.
I'm just feeling like this right now because of my circumstance. My glasses are off, but I know that it's okay.
Yes.
So you guys, you know, as we're going through this,
it's so perfect.
Comfort and encourage you that even when you feel like it's not, like when you feel like it's not okay, that from God's perspective, literally, sisters, you are perfect. You
yes.
are
Amen.
Forgiven.
Yes.
God sees
yes.
you as you will be forever, not as you are now. And His perspective is perfect. So it's very difficult for us to accept our own flaws and failures and brokenness and mistakes. We really, all of us want to do better. All of us want to look
yes.
better and feel better about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
but God,
yeah.
God recognizes where we are right now. You know, so to just,
oh,
just
he's
say, okay.
so good. He's so good, isn't he? Oh, amen.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. When I was younger, I was probably, I would say 12 years old. I can remember being so insecure then, right? About particularly my appearance, but so many things. But I remember praying to Him and saying, Lord, give me confidence. And at the time, I was just praying for confidence, right? Like that I would like myself the way I looked. I never dreamed all these years ago that the confidence that He gave me is this understanding of who I am. And He answered my prayer. There's no doubt about it. He answered my prayer, but certainly not.
Yeah.
It wasn't in the way I was praying it at the time, right? I mean, that's just how good He is. He just is.
Yeah.
He knows exactly what we need just when we need it. And I just praise Him for giving me that insight into that. Because not only does it, you know, it's not just about, again, it's not just about the appearance that He gave me that perspective. It's about what can my mind do? What can my body do? How it moves? You know, what, it's so much bigger than that. And to see
right.
myself that way as this
right.
creation, it just, like I said, it was life-changing.
Yeah. I feel like we've got a good start on this next point we wanted to talk about, but let's go ahead and dive in how what loving yourself really means. And maybe I'll start here. So when I teach on loving yourself, I start with when in the New Testament, people ask Jesus, what are the commandments? Like, what are the most important out of all the Ten Commandments or out of all the Old Testament commandments? What's the most important? And He narrowed it down to these two. love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But if we dissect that, there are the you, Y-O-U, is in these two commands 9 times. So it's you love yourself with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, and you love your neighbor as yourself. So you go through,
you cannot
share God's love with others until you are experiencing it yourself. That's the principle. You can't, on an airplane, you can't help somebody else if you're knocked out without any oxygen. You have to do your own oxygen max first. So this loving ourselves thing, I think women get this really mixed up and really feel guilty about taking care of themselves when actually this is so biblical that we are actually to love ourselves. You cannot share what you don't experience. So we have to receive God's love first in ourselves, and then we can share it. So when you are teaching gals, and you have a speaking ministry, and you do a lot with women, when you're teaching gals how to love themselves, what are you sharing with them to help them understand this is okay, this is of God?
Right. Well, so many things, just to reiterate what you said, I mean, I would agree with all of those things. There's so many examples of love in the Bible. Well, because God is love, right, first of all. And all that he has done, all that he is doing, all that he will ever do is out of love. So that's first and foremost. And I talk to them about, and I kind of dissect it, but I talk to them about the portion of scripture from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 13. And, it's used most notably at weddings. But, Paul so beautifully defines in such specific, concrete language what love is. And it's an illustration of God's love for us, but it's also an illustration of how to love others, and it's an illustration how we are to love ourselves. And you're exactly right. Too many people have a wrong attitude about what loving themselves actually means, right? And, we find people on so many different ends of the spectrum, on each spectrum end. We have people who put themselves way up on a pedestal. We have other people who berate and degrade themselves. But if we look at what Corinthians talks about, it talks about, having patience. Have patience with ourselves as well as with others. Don't envy other people. That benefits us, right? God keeps no record of wrongs. It's not easily angered, so don't keep record of wrongs with other people or with yourself. I mean, again, I encourage people to go to the scriptures that we mention and look them up and read them. But loving ourselves is not about having an attitude of superiority or thinking that we're better than others. It's not an inflated ego. Because we can never forget that God created every single human being. Every single person has worth and value. And whether they have an addiction, whether they are in prison, whether they, it doesn't matter what kind of house they live in or what kind of car they drive, what kind of clothing they wear, they were created by God, and they have a purpose, and they have sacred worth. And so we can't ever think of ourselves better than others. But loving ourselves in a way, in the proper way, in the biblical way, is pure, and it's real, because it's understanding who we are and what we are. Right? In other words, we see ourselves through God's eyes. And like I did in the mirror, right? Like you were talking about with the glasses, we see ourselves from a completely different perspective, and we're able to marvel at this magnificent creature, this magnificent creation that he has made with all of its complexity and with all of its uniqueness and all of its beauty. And it's huge when we understand that biblical principle of loving ourselves. It's like you said, we can't give it to others until we understand that.
Yeah, I love that. I've been doing some study on it recently in 1 Corinthians 13. When God starts to describe what real love is, what agape love is, he starts with the three words. Love is patient.
Yes,
and I don't think it's a mistake that's the first part. That's the very first part. His patience with us is so great when we're so frustrated with him for making us this way and for, for not making everything perfect and all that. And then as we experience his love and his patience toward us, we begin to be able to have this ability to be patient with ourselves. And what's really beautiful about this whole process is then we, at that point, then we are equipped to be patient with others.
So, you know,
it's just this beautiful flow through that he's not expecting us to conjure up this love for him, for ourselves, or for others. We actually get to receive it and then give it as the gift that it was given to us. And so it's really a beautiful process.
Oh, it is. I just think, you know, the more we ask him to fill us with his presence and who he is and with his love, you know, fill me, Lord, with your love. Fill me, Lord, with your patience. You know, I think of it as like a bottle, right? A bottle that is empty. You know, we just allow him to fill us up and he will overflow that bottle again and again and again with whatever it is that we need. And, you know, when it starts to get dry, he'll fill it back up again. And then what that does is that just overflows onto other people. You know, when we're filled with joy and we're filled with peace and we're filled with love and all of the fruit of the Spirit and everything that he gives us, we can't help but infect other people with that, right? Like we can't help but affect other people with that. So it's, I just love that. And you know that, whenever you're talking with somebody who is just filled with the Spirit, they just ooze, right? Like it just flows out of them and it just has such a positive impact on your day. On that moment,
absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, and of course, the converse is also true. When we're full of insecurity and negative thinking, that affects the people around us, as is it when they are that way. You know, I can't think of a better day to talk about this than today with this coronavirus just impending, you know, hanging over us all, and we're just kind of waiting to see what's going to happen here. And it will be very easy for us to fall into insecurity, to fall into negative thinking, but we don't have to. It is a choice. It is a choice.
Yes.
And one thing I like to, I think it was Steve McVeigh in Grace Walk years ago had this little illustration that I loved so much. It was just a little picture. And he said, our emotions go like this. And he made this line across the paper. It goes up and down and up and down and up and down. That's my emotions. You know, that's how I feel about what's going on. And he goes, and sometimes we misunderstand and we think that God is with us through all those ups and downs, and he is with us. But the difference is that he's stable. He is completely a flat line right there.
Yep.
He is stable. Uh-huh. He's at peace. He is okay. And whenever we feel like we are going down below into the depths of despair, really like into the hellish thoughts that come to us, we can just reach out through prayer and say, God, just bring me into your presence. Show me this from your perspective and help me to rise above where my brain and my emotions think it wants to take me, because it's really pretty miserable for us when we're there, and it's miserable for the people around us when we're there.
Yeah. And I was sharing with you before we went on air, this is such a perfect opportunity for us to teach others, to teach our kids how to navigate and health, you know, cope in healthy ways, you know, by having that peace, by standing with God arm in arm. Like I like to just picture it, you know, we're arm in arm with him. And if we just stay that way, how he will just guide us and he'll walk us through that. And we won't have those, you know, our emotions are, and our flows, our feelings are where they ebb and flow, right? Like the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And they are not reliable. We cannot rely on our feelings to guide us through this life. So we need to rely on God to do that. And he's more than willing to do it. We just need to ask.
So is that the secret then, is just asking?
It really is simple, actually. You know, we really just, I wish I could say that, you know, it is that simple, but it's not, because it takes diligence and discipline on our part to do those things. But the secret to combating our insecurities and our negative thinking, I think primarily lies in Romans 12:2, which says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mm-hmm. We have to take steps to renew our mind. We can ask God, but, you know, we have to do our part in regard to like we were talking about, filling our minds with all good things. I mean, let's face it, if we fill our mind with everything that we read that is, you know, doom and gloom and panic on the web, you know, on social media, wherever we see it, what's going to happen is we're going to go down that path. So like you said, we have a choice. We have a choice of which path we're going to take. So I choose, and you've said how you choose, to take scripture and repeat it and practice speaking it and, you know, filling our minds with those things so that we can have that peace and we can have that steadiness. And when we do this, you know, again, I know I sound like a broken record, but, you know, we're going to come to learn that our worth and value and all of these things that happen to us, you know, it none of that comes from what the culture says it will. Our peace won't come from what the culture says it will, but from the biblical truth.
Oh, no.
From what we feed our brain.
Jennifer again?
What's that? No, I'm here.
Oh, we lost you again. Good. There you are. Okay.
No.
We lost you right at what the culture says. What was the end of the sentence?
Yeah,
what the culture says?
Yeah, we can't rely, you know, on what the culture says where our worth and value and our peace and our joy is going to come from, but from the biblical truths and from the understanding of those truths in the Word. So we have to be diligent in taking any and all negative thoughts, any false thoughts, any false beliefs about ourselves, about our circumstances, about others, and we replace them. We replace each and every one of them as they come. We saturate each and every one of them with one that's better, right? With one that's true. Where do we find those? Where do we find in the Bible, right? If anybody out there said the Bible, you get a gold star because that's where we find the truth that we're going to stand upon. So, for instance, okay, like I tell the ladies, this is just one example. But if you say to yourself, "No one loves me," well, ask yourself, is that really true? Like, really true? No one? No, it's not true because the Word says in John 4:19 that we love because He first loved us. So we can take that and say, God loves me. He loved me first. And because we know who He is, He loves us best. And so that replaces that thought. We just do that over and over and over again. And that's how we renew our mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the transformational prayer ministry that we do, we say the phrase, not that it is true, but does it feel true that blank? And then we say, that to God. Can you talk to me about this from your perspective? Because honestly, just because it feels true doesn't mean that it is true. And we have to keep on really releasing those lies and just, you know, perversions of God's truth. We keep replacing those with what is true. So you actually have four important and practical ways that we should be renewing our minds. Can you go through those with us right now?
I absolutely can. And I just want to add to what you were saying about that in regard to, you know, filling our minds. And, you know, if we think about Jesus when he was in the desert, you know, if he was tempted by the devil, right? And the devil kept perverting the scripture, right? And Jesus would say, no, it is written. And so that is our example, right? Because let's face it, the devil is going to tell us lies. He is going to remind us of our past sins. He's going to do all of those things to derail us. And we need to stand firm and say, no, that is not what is written. Here's what's written. And so that practicing speaking that truth is what does that, is what renews our mind. Now, if the four practical ways that we can do this, these are pretty simple steps. There are more, but these are really where we need to begin. First of all, prayer. We need to be lifting our concerns, our insecurities, the things we worry about in prayer, asking God to help us. And then, most importantly, we need to listen to God's answers and His advice. It won't do much good if we don't listen to what He says. If we're doing all the talking and we're telling Him how we want it to be, that's not going to get us very far. It's really, really important to also take time to listen to what He's going to tell us.
Amen.
Second thing. Right. Amen. Right. I don't think we can add to that. That's just pretty cut and dry. We need to read, study, and apply the Word of God. I can't stress this enough. This is so key. We got to know it. We got to live it in order to succeed. This is why part of my ministry is Bible distribution to those in need, because it's just vital to have the word, to know the word, and to apply the word. And that leads me to the next one, discipline. Every aspect of our lives, from finances to our diets to exercise, and you were talking about being, you know, on the elliptical and exercising every day, we need to be disciplined in those things. And our faith, it all requires us to be disciplined. So when it comes to knowing the word and applying it and studying it, we need to set time aside and let nothing stand in our way of spending time with God. I mean, no excuses, no distractions, consistency, because our emotional and spiritual health depends on it. And perseverance. Perseverance is huge, because it's a battle. The struggle is real, as they say, right? It's a process, too. This whole renewing our mind is a process. The strongly held beliefs that we have about ourselves, they didn't happen overnight, so they're not going to necessarily disappear overnight, right? And just when we think we've found victory in one place, which we will always find victory with God by our side, the devil will come at us from a different angle. So we need to apply it again and do it. So it's practice, 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 because practice makes perfect. And, you know, we just keep doing that again and again. It's like when we're riding our bikes, right? If you fall down, when we're learning, we fall down, you get back up, and eventually you are able to go forward on your two-wheeler and be victorious in that. So we will renew our minds whenever we do this again and again, and it replaces our negative thinking.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love your emphasis on prayer being a two-way conversation. I think so many times, instead of it being prayer, it's just actually a laundry list of things we want God to do for us.
Oh, yeah.
Or things we're really upset with Him for not doing so far. And it's really supposed to be, it's really supposed to be a relationship where, like, you and
absolutely.
I, you're actually sharing the lion's share of this content today. You're the guest, you're the teacher, the trainer, and I'm here having a conversation with you. And with God, that's really how it should be. We should be listening more than we talk. Receiving.
Well, I mean, if we don't, right?
Asking clarifying questions.
Absolutely, right. Because if we don't, I mean, how are we going to learn anything, right? I mean, it would be like going into a college course and trying to teach the teacher or the professor, right? I mean, we wouldn't do that, because we're there to learn. So when we sit at the feet of Jesus. You know, sit at the feet of Jesus and just ask Him to guide us and to teach us, and He will speak to us. He will speak to our souls. He will speak to our hearts and teach us. And it's so beautiful. And you know, what I've learned over the years is the difference between those who are sure of themselves and those who are insecure is how we manage the negative thoughts that pop into our minds. This is how biblical self-esteem, the biblical love of ourselves, replaces low self-esteem, and how confidence replaces our insecurities. That's how it happens.
Beautiful.
I mean, we should never, ever underestimate the capabilities that lie within us when we have Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Right, absolutely. So I do this thing at conferences where we think of like a red flashing light on our forehead saying danger, danger, danger. And then in response to that, we say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And so I stand in front and I say danger, danger, danger. And everybody yells says Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And the thing is that so much of our lives, we aren't recognizing that we're in danger, that our souls, our perspectives, our well-being, our thought life is in danger. It's in danger of being swept away. I think right now, you guys, I think right now we're in danger of being swept away by fear and being swept away by self-centeredness, being swept away by just all the concerns that we have about the people we love and even ourselves. And where God wants us to, of course, that's where the enemy would want us to just live right there. Just stay in fear, because you are pretty worthless there to God.
Yes.
So if you know, but if we just, whenever we feel danger, whenever we feel fearful, whenever we feel unsure, whatever, if we just remember to call in the name of Jesus, there's so much power there.
Oh, yes.
One of the things that you teach is how to dress for battle, dress for success like King David did.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So, I'm going to encourage everybody to read this portion of scripture on their own, but I will briefly tell what happens in this. This is from 1 Samuel 17, verses 32 through 50. And it's where young shepherd boy David is going to go out and fight Goliath, right? And so he's having this conversation with King Saul at the time, and King Saul's kind of hesitant to let him go, and he's young, and he's like, I don't know, and David just keeps telling him, listen, God saved me from the paw of the lion. He saved me from the paw of the bear. I'm not afraid of this giant, right? So Saul, he convinces Saul. He must have been very convincing, right? Because he convinces him to let him go out and do this. So he's like, okay, fine, I'll let you go, but here, let's try to put some armor on you. You know, here, take my armor out to fight this giant. So he tries to fit him in it, and it's too big. I mean, it's, you know, he's just a child, he's a man, and it won't fit him. So David takes it off, and he takes a staff and five stones and a slingshot and goes out to fight Goliath. And spoiler alert, if you've never read the story, well, he beats Goliath, right? He kills him. So he's successful. And here's what I find awesome about the story, right? It seems so simple, right? Nothing to it. David's like, nothing to it. I'm going to go out. I've got God with me. I'm going to go out, and I'm going to fight this giant. Here's what's so awesome about this story. David's confidence in being victorious came only because of his faith in God and what God mm-hmm. could do. It wasn't about his own abilities, but the capabilities that he had with God. And that's what we need to rely on too, for God to work in us and through us. Another amazing thing to me is that David didn't allow the size of what he was about to fight keep him from fighting it anyway. So no matter what we're fighting, like we were talking about this virus, right? That's like on everybody's mind first and foremost. No matter what the size of the battle is that we're facing, with God all things are possible. Success is guaranteed. It's guaranteed when we have God at our side. And David knew that. He was just so confident in that. And also, he didn't use Goliath's armor or even Saul's armor, but he used God's armor to go out against this giant. And we too have God's armor at our disposal. If we go to Ephesians 6, verses 13 through 17, It's described there, the armor that we have at our disposal. We have every item and every tool that we could ever need to be victorious in any situation. We have the belt of truth. We have the breastplate of righteousness. We have the shoes of peace, right? Our feet are fitted with the gospel. We have the shield of faith. We have the helmet of salvation. And we have prayer, which covers everything. It goes back to prayer, right? That's so huge. And so, you know, I tell ladies, you know, before you choose your outfit and your accessories for the day, put on the outfit, the armor of God. I mean, that's the first thing to pick up and put on before you consider anything else. Because that's our victory.
I have a practice in the morning of putting on my spiritual armor as I'm getting dressed. And so I'm very simple. So I do it head and shoulders, knees and toes. So instead of putting it on in the order that it's in the Bible, I just put my shield up because I feel like that's like the dressing room is the shield that protects me.
Yes,
and
yes.
Then I just go helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, shoes of peace, pick up my sword of the word of God and go into the day with prayer.
Yes.
You know, and when I was first learning it, studying about it and learning that, it would take me sometimes 45 minutes, sometimes 2 hours. To get that last piece of armor going, because I would get thinking about it and everything like that. And I've been doing it for, I'm sure, a decade or two now. And so I can do it so fast, just like I just did in 10 seconds, or I can just linger. A lot of times I'll just linger on faith, or I'll linger on truth, or I'll, and I remember, it's just so cool because it's alive, you guys. That's just this word of God is alive. And so it hits us different every day. But I remember one day, this was years ago, that I was putting on my belt of truth. And I said what I always said when I put on my belt of truth, and this is the most important one. And then I would keep going. And one day I was really convicted. And God was like, why do you keep saying that? And I'm like, Isn't it the most important one? And he's like, no, they're all the most important one. And I'm like, huh, how about that? But you know, it's funny, we have ideas in our thinking. That's why I asked earlier about insecurity, because I think a lot of times we don't even call something by the right name. We don't even know that it's insecurity that's causing us to have these struggles in our life. But as God makes these things, and that's why I love these programs, because it's bubbling things to the surface where we can say, that resembles me. I can really relate to that, you know, negative view of myself or assumptions I'm making or self-defeating behaviors that are caused by this low esteem, this media messages and the comparisons that we're doing, and how God wants to free us to live abundantly exactly the way he created us. And he loves you so much the way you are. Oh, wow. This hour has flown right by.
I know.
Talk with you forever. But thank you so much for coming and sharing this. Yeah, great stuff here today.
It's been amazing. I love talking with you.
Oh, and I love you. So you guys want to be sure to go and check out Jennifer's website, which is jennifercadamore.com. Jennifer, when they go over there, what are they going to find?
Well, if they go to resources, they will find a way to be able to receive Bibles, and what my Bible distribution ministry is all about. I have some podcasts on there. I have started podcasts, which I'm really excited about, because Jeremiah 20 verse 9 is, but if I say I won't speak of his word or mention his name, his word is in my heart like a fire. A fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. So they're going to find devotions, all kinds of devotions. They're going to find podcasts. They can also there's a link there to my YouTube channel where they can go and watch videos. So I can't keep in everything God has taught me. I just constantly want to share it with everybody. So if they go to resources, they will find those things. There are, my event schedule is on there. There's also a link to my book, You Are Beautiful. It's a devotional learning about this very thing, how to find your worth and value. And there's an opportunity to connect with me if they would like to ask me to speak at an event, and also an opportunity to support the ministry.
Cool. Is the You Are Beautiful, does that work for a group too, or just for individuals?
It is for a group. Yeah, I love teaching that, because I actually teach that to girls who are 10 and older, all the way up to 75, and it never ceases to amaze me how many women need that message. So, yeah, it's awesome.
Jennifer, thank you, darling.
Thank you. Thank you for everything you do. You're such a blessing to everybody. Thank you for bringing this to everybody.
Thanks. Okay, you have a great day. And you guys, thank you for being here. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day and your week. And my prayer for each of you is that you would have the peace of God, even as he protects and provides for you through this crazy season that we are just entering into now. And I just encourage you to just continually compare this to Peter walking on the water. That as soon as we look at the waves, we're going to be emotionally overwhelmed. But if we keep our eyes on Jesus, we're going to be okay. So I just encourage you to just keep your eyes on Jesus, focus there, and keep asking him, how can I help you? How can I serve you today? What can I do for you, Jesus? And the beauty of this is that he never asks us to do anything that he doesn't equip us to do. So if you don't have any money, you can't give any money. He's not going to ask you to give money if you don't have money. So if you have something, you can share it. So keep going to him for everything you need so that you will have things to share as needs come up.
Well, my heart is with you. I love you so much. Thanks for joining us here live. And those of you who are listening to the archive afterwards, thank you so much. Those of you who host us, oh my goodness, I'm so grateful to you. And I want to remind you that there are awesome women speakers to check out at womenspeakers.com. I know that right now a lot of events have been canceled and postponed, but this will not last forever. And our speakers are just praying for you as you go through this, and be praying for them as well. All right, thanks. Have a great rest of your day. Talk to you soon. Bye.